When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Going back to my rookie season, I got hurt. I missed a few games. And I felt like sometimes that rookie wall, which is real, when you miss time and you come back, you're just so rejuvenated. And silver lining, it could be a good thing, right? Where he got to sit back and learn and watch Coop and actually get his body right and be fresh going into this final stretch. So hopefully we can get him back on that field soon and help us out.
Josh Allen talking about the availability now of the wide receiving core with Keon Coleman. He is expected to be back. His injury designation was lifted. He's good to go for Sunday against the Detroit Lions, 4:25 kickoff. You'll hear pregame right here on WGR starting at 11 a.m. with Bills game day.
Wall-to-wall
coverage. And this, though, is Sports Talk Saturday, where we are just balls to the wall.
Balls to the wall, baby.
With everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Derek Kramer. That's Joe Cali. We're here with you for another hour here. I have to say, Evan said something in the update about a report from Jonathan Jones, and Cleveland, what are you doing?
It's okay. It's another Ohio team. It makes sense.
It's all
bone in, boneless wings.
Bone in, boneless wings.
No flag planting.
Eat a bone with a bone in it, Deshaun.
And Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski, and Andrew Berry all expected to be back reportedly in 2025, according to Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports.
Okay.
Hey, I might be a Sabres fan, but that's depressing.
That's bad. Joe Flacco's been the bright spot in recent history for
Watson's
them.
Future as the starting quarterback in Cleveland, however, is far less certain. Well, then you have to get rid of him some way, somehow.
Yeah, it's the worst contract in sports
Find
history.
A way to bury that contract. Yeah. If he has to come back and they have to honor that contract, they're not rostering a football team.
No. You might as well just mail it in for that season. Have another 0-16 season. Throw another garbage parade.
I don't know. Oh, my God. He has been dreadful.
No, it was disgusting watching him play football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you rooted for his downfall. Not injury, because I never root for injury.
Correct.
But you rooted for his downfall.
Just for his downfall. I mean, I guess I know why he'd be coming back. It would be $119 million in dead cap.
Yep.
If you cut him.
It's an abysmal contract.
And a worse restructuring.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow restructured it to be worse. How?
No idea.
They wasted the prime of Myles Garrett.
They totally did.
And they wasted the end of the career of Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Because he does not look
he's not. After that injury last year, that disgusting injury. Oh, my God. He's not been the same. He's a good running back, but he's not Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Like you've seen. But, you know, speaking
coming from the franchise that buried Joe Thomas's career.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Cleveland, man, you got to get out of your own way. Like, Jimmy Haslam, you got to stop being involved.
Mm-hmm.
Just go away. Count the money at the end of the day and be done with it. That's what you should be doing as an owner. You should not be getting involved at this point.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Hmm.
But now, so back to it. Oh, boy.
No. I can't say what I want to say, but
Bills
yeah, I think
Lions.
You know.
Bills Lions. There's a fascinating question that I feel like everyone should be asking,
mm-hmm.
and based on how it is presented to you, the responses are going to vary. Joe and I talked about this on Friday, and it was more or less like he let an answer out there. If the Bills give up this many points, do you think they'll win?
That's a good way to look at it.
And I'm going to do the opposite. If the Bills score X amount of points, do they win?
Because 42 wasn't enough last week.
42 somehow happened to be not enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give you an answer here, and based on how they play against Detroit, obviously that is going to vary. But obviously with a tougher matchup, the defense just got hit in the mouth. No Rasul Douglas. There might be injuries along the safeties as well. If the Bills score 35 points, the Bills will blank.
Lose.
You think they'll lose with 35?
Yep. I think this is going to be a high-scoring track match.
I think they'll win.
You do?
I do.
I don't think defense is going to be a factor at all in this game.
I think defense will be a factor in one way of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Something that the Bills strangely failed at a good amount against the Rams. But not to an overwhelming extent either. The Bills are a team that does allow yards. They are not this stingy defense that lets you do nothing and then suddenly let everything happen. No, they let up yards. That is something that happens. For me, it's about the red zone efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this team typically does a good job.
Oh, they'll hold teams to field goals.
At holding teams to field goals. They even did it on a drive with
they
the
did
Rams.
It. They did it against the Rams. Yeah.
They did it against the Rams.
If it's not a big play getting them into the end zone outside of the red zone, you can kind of count on the Bills defense to actually lock it down. But that's with Taylor Rapp healthy. That's with Rasul Douglas healthy, right? Like, you saw what happened to them
and,
when they collided.
And one of the things that was happening in that game was in the red zone, they were not very good. The Rams were small-balling their way into the end zone with the run game, typically.
Yeah, with Kyron Williams.
Kyron Williams started it off.
I forget who their backup is. He was the big Michigan guy last year, but he was having a day as well.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the Bills are typically a very good team when the boundary is there as an extra defender.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot tougher to defend with like that, even though, when you have Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua just making plays.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown are threats. So that is going to be there.
Right. But it's not Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, that tandem.
It's not that tandem. Mm-hmm. At least not yet.
Could be. They could be. They could just put up a historical performance together, honestly, any given Sunday. But from what we've seen so far this season, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are in a league of their own when they're healthy together. So,
exactly. And who knows what you've got, but at the same time, man, the red zone efficiency was not there for them
against
the Rams. And it's an atypical thing against the Bills.
Yeah.
They'll give up yards.
Right. So you think it might have just been an off week? Like, they were struggling with just those two guys? And
they were struggling with those two
Williams,
guys.
Yes. Yeah.
And even Kyron Williams, they sold out to stop him in the second half.
They did.
But by selling out, they left players that are not very comfortable in a man coverage setting.
Yeah, Jamarcus Ingram on Puka Nacua, pretty much.
Even Rasul Douglas against him.
Yeah.
It was not favorable.
No.
It breaks my heart because I love what Douglas has brought to this team. He's become one of my favorite players on the Bills.
Mm-hmm. This is just a
and then he even gets
game.
Hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and then he got hurt. Yeah.
It's just one of those games where I know they're better in the red zone than they showed in this game.
So you're saying that'll come out against Detroit, you think?
I think it will.
Yeah, okay.
I think it'll be back.
Listen, I'd love to see that. I think they're just going to have to score 42 points. I think that is the margin. I think you kind of have to have six touchdowns, you know?
I also know that the problem is things are never stacked on each other.
Mm-hmm.
It is a week-to-week league. It is a game-to-game league.
Right.
You go ahead and tell me that the Los Angeles Rams scored 12 points after putting up 44.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have believed you.
On the Niners, who the Bills blew out at home.
Beat the bricks off of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again.
Any given Sunday.
There's only one thing constant this NFL season. That's the Kansas City Chiefs getting away with victory in ridiculous ways.
Yeah. They're playing with voodoo dolls in the locker room, just poking needles into them, and that's what's happening.
The only thing that has been consistent this year.
Mm-hmm. That they're finding just egregious ways to win football games, one-score games. Like, that's it.
Exactly.
Doink for the division. Are we serious?
Yes.
That's a thing?
Also, Mike Tirico, calm down, buddy.
Yeah.
It's the Chiefs winning the division.
And then
it's something that happens every year.
You got Chris, Chris right next to him.
You don't have to yell about it going, for the division!
Mm-hmm.
It's good! Like, that's the Chiefs. They win the division. That's what they do.
Now, can I pose a question to you?
Sure.
Allen, right? 2 weeks now, back to back, he's done things that no one's ever done before in the modern history of the NFL. This week he does something else like that, lockup MVP? Or is he already locked up MVP? If he has another, I guess, if he has another Josh Allen caliber performance on the peak of the roller coaster, is that an MVP lockup for him?
I would say yes and no. I do think that the win-loss record will start to take a toll if they lose another football game.
Right.
The wins are not a quarterback stat. They certainly are a
Joe Burrow would be the MVP if the Bengals had a winning record.
Exactly.
Like, that's just how it is, unfortunately.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He is showing that he is capable, and he should honestly win. Give him Offensive Player of the Year.
He should.
Give him Offensive Player of the Year. That's not
his
a crime.
His stats are unbelievable for a team that has such a bad record.
You can't shoo him in for that, because if Saquon Barkley breaks the record and doesn't win MVP,
he's getting Offensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm. He might get it regardless.
Well, I ask you that because there was a tweet I mentioned in the last hour I wanted to bring up.
Sure.
Someone chiming in on the MVP race, right? Speaking less, praying more. Stephon Diggs tweets that out yesterday. 8:31 p.m. Bills fan looks like he tweets in, "How's your healing? Think Josh is going to win MVP this year?" Probably not expecting to get a response, right?
Mm-hmm.
The response comes. On schedule for the healing, right? ... He should. Shorty balling for real. About Josh Allen.
Yes.
So, I mean, Diggs has chimed in. I just saw that. That's amazing. So that's a goodie's healing on time, first
goodie's
of all.
Goodie's healing, and maybe we can...
Shorty balling for real. We can throw out the whole they hate each other scenario.
Yeah, we can put that story to bed once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, like, I don't blame Diggs for wanting out.
I don't either. I don't think it was just Josh Allen, though.
No, it wasn't just Allen. And he saw a team that kept failing in the divisional round, and he wanted a change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
Did he go about it in a healthy manner? Probably not.
For all accounts, we're sitting at 10-3 right now. Am I bitter about it? Absolutely not.
No. As a matter of fact, anyone that's still holding on to it, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
And this just shows you to let it go, because they've let it go.
Yes.
Like, he's not holding any grudge.
Yes, and I'm glad to see he's progressing as well, though. But
yeah.
Yeah, no, like, that's a thing, is that he is doing something that is required for an MVP race,
mm-hmm.
which is controlling a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Because people like stories. And what are MVP voters? They're writers.
They are.
Analysts.
Yep.
They are people that are out here to tell you a story. A story that unfolds in front of you, but there's a way to narrate it. And that's something that we even do here. Like, let's be real about that. We like stories. We gravitate to stories. It's naturally in our blood. We go to school for journalism.
Yes.
Or something within that means.
Communications in a greater
communications
sense.
In mm-hmm. the greater scope of it, but typically journalism is something that we all dive into, or at least peck a couple of classes from.
Yes.
So we all are story-driven people.
A good narrative is what drives the entire season of the NFL.
Including actual reporters who have to be journalists. They are story-driven people. They want to tell you a story because that is their job, that is their passion.
Exactly.
We don't get into this for the money.
No. No.
But, again, that's the thing that's happening, is Allen is creating a story in front of us
mm-hmm.
for others to tell.
Right. You take all those veteran weapons he had away, and look at what he's still doing.
What can be the story of that Rams loss? One of the stories is, wow, the Bills defense stinks.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped them that game. Wow, the coach made a really bad decision.
Yeah.
And then you collect it all together and go, they lost by two despite all of that?
Because of one man.
Because Josh Allen went on a tear.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the run game, because sometimes the run game is a good complement to these big wins that the Bills tend to have, or big offensive outputs.
It was through the air.
It was exclusively through Allen,
because
he did it on the ground too.
He did.
But it was him making bucket throws on a constant, creating matchups or forcing matchups on one-on-ones and expecting your receivers to win them.
Like that throw to Khalil Shakir to get him right down into...
That was more impressive than Shakir's 51 touchdown.
Yes!
Because Shakir catches that football that we all thought got knocked out of him.
I thought it got picked at first. Like,
I thought
when
it was just
when
an
it
incompletion.
Happened. Yeah.
He manages to reel that thing in, sliding, takes a hit, nothing gets jarred loose, and they're back in business all of a sudden on a 31-yard completion.
Yep.
That was the most impressive catch that he had that night. And he had a 51-yard touchdown
mm-hmm.
where he bounced off of three or four people.
Dinkin', Dunkin', Chunkin'.
Dinkin', Dunkin', and or Chunkin'. But Allen is creating a story with his play, and people are telling it. That's why his betting odds doubled after a loss.
Yeah, he's the heavy favorite.
Because it is not, because with an MVP vote, it is not exclusively how many, it is how. You need to tell how. And that's how Lamar Jackson won it last year, was the how.
Right.
How are you doing this?
Because everybody was coming at him with, hey, you had a 2015 Tyrod Taylor Buffalo Bills stat line. The stats were not jumping off the page at you.
And there's a precedent that is being established now of trying to recreate the meaning of the most valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that is, they're doing it right now. The voters are kind of understanding. Like, I was mad initially because Allen also proved his value.
Oh, yeah, because the Bills wouldn't have...
The Bills would not have won the AFC East. However, that is a logistical fallacy. Alone, he didn't do it.
No.
The defense played well. The run game woke up. So it wasn't just him.
And Joe Brady came in halfway through the season.
As a matter of fact, what was the turning point of the Bills-Dolphins game to clinch the East?
It was Deonte Hardy taking a return back to the house.
It was special teams.
Yeah, special teams.
A unit.
No credit to Matthew Smiley.
a unit I typically have a tendency to criticize right now.
Yeah.
They did make the difference in that game to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all on the quarterback there. James Cook, the Dallas game. They beat the bricks off of Dallas.
Yeah, Allen did nothing.
Allen didn't have to do anything.
Yeah. Well, that's where you started to see, like...
So there's context,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a story being told. What's the story about the Bills? They are finding a way and fighting their way back. Is it because of Josh Allen? Not entirely.
He's a big part of it, but it's not all
of it. He's a big reason, but it's not all of it. He didn't do anything against Dallas. They could have had Case Keenum starting the entire game. Would have done the same dang thing.
You're 100% correct, yeah.
But so context matters.
Yeah.
Like, Lamar Jackson was doing great things with Baltimore last year with that MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm not, like, that's why I didn't concern myself with the MVP race throughout the season, because, first of all, it was too early to be arguing about that sort of thing.
Yeah. Now's the time where you can really...
Now's the time you can really look at the scope of an entire season and go, what's really doing it? Why is Lamar Jackson putting up such great stats but not being seriously considered for the MVP? It's because he also has Derrick Henry running roughshod over people again.
Yeah, and he's going to kill the Giants this week.
If you have two MVP candidates, you have none.
Yeah, they're canceling each other out effectively.
Yes. That's why the Eagles are having a problem with Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is absolutely on there, but Jalen Hurts is within the top 10 in betting odds.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're winning.
Right.
But if you have two MVP candidates, you have none.
It's just Josh for the Bills.
It is Allen.
And
this year... It's kind of still been the same thing. Like, to start the year, though, they were incorporating balance.
It was very balanced.
So it was very clueless as to how is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
It's because he's making the plays late. It is how. It is absolutely the story being told in front of you.
Right. Sealing the game against Kansas City with that run.
And it's a moment play.
Yeah.
People tend to gravitate to those. Barkley jumping over someone backwards after spinning off another guy.
Right.
It's a moment.
Recall that in your head. They put that in Madden for, like... That's a moment.
It's a moment.
Derrick Henry, that long touchdown run, right?
Exactly.
On the Bills.
There's
and other runs he's broken. Like, those are moments. And Allen, I mean, do you have more than two hands of moments? More than 10 fingers of moments?
Probably this year.
Yeah.
And that is what it is.
Yes.
Is that, like, Josh Allen, first game of the year. They're struggling against Arizona. What does he do to help take the lead? Dives over Buda Baker into the end zone. Even hurts his own hand, but then the Bills lock it up.
Mm-hmm. He's like,
that.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't going into Buda, so I got to go over top.
But that game, he's not the one that creates the final moment. It's the Bills' defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
They sealed the game. They shut the door against an Arizona team that was threatening to either tie or win the game.
Miami, the run game. Like
yes.
You said, like that was
Allen,
a big run game.
That was an Allen didn't have to lift a finger that game.
Mm-hmm.
Allen didn't have to lift his busted hand that he got the week prior.
Yeah.
So that's why he wasn't being considered early. And now you're starting to see it. You're starting to see he's taking over football games more. He is creating the moments. The how is as capable of lifting a conversation about MVP as the how many in the numbers, in the wins, and anything else going on.
I think he might be unanimous this season.
I don't think it's going to be unanimous.
You think Saquon Barkley will get a couple?
Saquon absolutely should
but
get votes.
Here's the question, though.
I'm going to say he should get votes.
Looking at the Eagles' remaining schedule, the Bills play the AFC least after this week.
Yes.
So the
you
Eagles,
have to have a strong showing here.
Yeah, the Eagles, I mean, they play their divisional games, don't get me wrong. But they play the Steelers, Commanders, both good teams. The Cowboys, I mean, whatever. And then the Giants, whatever. So they have a couple more solid games where Saquon could make a case, where the Bills are going up against division rival that they clinched the division over without even playing yet.
There,
you know what I mean?
There like, is also the other side of the sword, which is the second blade. If they lose, if the Eagles lose...
Yeah, you're right.
What does that do to the MVP odds?
Right, if the Steelers beat Philly, what happens there? Like, you know, if Saquon Barkley can't get... I mean, you saw the last game. He wasn't as much of a factor as he had been weeks previous, and that's why his odds dipped a little bit.
And it is always going to be harder for a running back.
Because it's
like
a quarterback-driven award, unfortunately.
Because the most valuable player typically is that. And if you go ahead and ask, like, who is most valuable, if you have Saquon Barkley... Not on the Eagles. They are still a solid football team that makes the postseason.
Right. Put probably DeAndre Swift back there like he was last year.
And Louis DiBiase talked with Joe and I yesterday and said such. Like, they had fine running numbers with Miles Sanders in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Or DeAndre Swift. Like, it's something they do well. You take Josh Allen off the Buffalo Bills when you're talking about the MVP conversation this year.
4 wins?
They're a disaster.
Yeah.
And that is what it's looking
right.
like.
Right. Mitch Trubisky leading the charge. Can you imagine?
803-0550 is the number to call. I never want to think about that thought ever again. poisoning my brain.
Okay.
Jeff, you're on hold. Stay there. We'll get to you on the other side here as Sports Talk Saturday continues on here. You're listening to WGR.
Cobb in motion. Rodgers has it stripped. Ball is loose in the end zone. Lacy picks it up. And they're waving their hands right now. It is a safety.
That was 10 years ago?
10 years ago today.
The Bills beat the Packers. And Matt Bove picked up on something that all of us would find out about Aaron Rodgers. He's kind of a jerk.
10 years ago today. Okay.
I got you, Matt.
I remember that. That was when I first started. I was 12. That's when I first started getting into the Bills.
Yep. And that was Matt Bove getting pushed by Aaron Rodgers.
No way.
Yes.
So that's that game?
That's that picture.
Okay. I've seen that picture on Matt's Twitter.
I've got you, Matt. I've got you. An injustice was done 10 years ago.
Wow. So his character was exposed early then. Interesting.
Aaron Rodgers' family was right.
Yeah.
When I think about that game, I think about when I came in Monday to one of my friends from high school trying to make fun of him because he's a Packers fan, and then I got shut down by my teacher saying, who's going to make the playoffs, though?
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah.
No,
they had
again,
it. They got you.
Your teacher went with have a take, don't suck, and that's something that's been going on plenty today, by the way, with the callers. You guys have been fantastic here today. We'll get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Jeff and Clarence. How you doing today? Jeff, you got?
Hey, how you doing? How you guys doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself, man?
Good, man. Really enjoy your show. You guys do a great job.
Thank you. What you got for us?
Here's what I got. First of all, and this is kind of a tangent thing for my own thought, but I had to say it first. Dad, lay off my boy, Mitch Trubisky. He could prove himself. I'm telling you, he's got talent.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay. What do you got now?
Next thing I got is I am a Buffalo sports fan.
Oh, no. Jeff, we've lost your signal as you were getting to the real take, man. Please call back.
I want to hear that.
Jeff, call back because we lost you there as you were trying to get to your real part of the call. But I appreciate you defending the honor of Mitchell Trubisky. That's not going to stop me from saying he's not good.
No. Also, can I just totally off topic. I rolled on to this. on the good old X. Last night, Bandits, Ian McKay, 5 shots, 5 goals.
There's efficiency.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a great job by Ian
and
McKay.
It's highlight reel. I mean, they swept them last night. They on a slip. Josh Byrne slipped in front of the net.
How are the Bandits this good?
I don't know.
It is wild.
It's the same group as last year. They're going
to
be good.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, just – you want to talk about how, like
– Sorry, I didn't mean to derail what we were talking about. But,
like, the Sabres are – like they're consistently this bad and everything like that. And the Bandits, yes, it's a smaller league.
Consistently that good.
Consistently that great.
The league's expanding, too.
Yeah.
They're out on the West Coast now. They played Ottawa last night, the Ottawa Black Bears. And there's a Vegas
team.
Team
in Ottawa?
Yeah. There's a Vegas team. Like, there's West Coast teams. It's starting to grow a little bit, which I love because Buffalo's kind of the – feels like the center of it all.
They're the linchpin.
Yeah.
They're the linchpin that makes it all go around. And that's highly arrogant to say, but at the same time
– it's good to say about a Buffalo team for once, right?
It is. That said, I would like them to have enough teams to separate into divisions again, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just – It's
a 14-team league.
Yeah.
I would like for it to keep growing.
I think it will. The popularity is increasing. Even in Ottawa, looking on the TV broadcast, that stadium had good numbers in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're getting attendance, so that's good.
Yeah,
but
no.
Never a dull moment in Bandit Land at Buffalo, though.
The Bandits are on a tear.
No.
And they continue to be. All right, we're going to try Jeff again?
Yes.
We're going to try Jeff again. Jeff, we got a better signal here.
Yeah, let's hope so.
All right, let's hope so. So what was the second thing you wanted to say?
Okay, so 62 years old, been a Buffalo Bills fan, Buffalo Sabres fan my whole life. I even saw the Braves play, you know? And being a Buffalo fan, I've got scars, and we all do. You know, it's the toughest thing in the world to be a Buffalo sports fan. I keep telling my kids, get ready for huge disappointment. You know, great things to happen, but usually, you know, major disappointment at the end. I don't let any of them say the word Super Bowl or playoffs because until we're there, it ain't happening. Don't even say it. Don't even say it. But when it comes to the Sabres, this is the thing that kills me. I am way more of a Sabres fan than I am a Bills fan. After 4 lost Super Bowls, I gave up. I was just like, I just want the Sabres. That's all I need.
Yeah, Jeff, I agree wholeheartedly with it. And there's a lot of people like you where you almost have to become Bills fans first now by default because of how bad the Sabres have been. And I know there's enough people out there like that. And that's something that I want to make sure that it's difficult to keep the balance of keeping that spirit alive while also making sure to say, man, this team makes things difficult, and all we want to do is love you, but we have to call you out. And ultimately, this is coming down to Kevin Adams. You have probably the rest of this year to prove that you're the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something to shake up the roster, and if you keep saying that you're not going to panic, well, that's our job to panic, not yours. Let us do the panicking. Us in the media and the fans. Let us do it for you. We'll panic for you, okay?
Pretty good at that at this
point. We're very good at
that. 13 years in.
Very practiced at it.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem here is you also have to see and recognize that someone on this roster today needs to not be tomorrow. Make a statement that this is not good enough. And we've seen it now in 2 off seasons.
Set an example.
You've made some moves to add players, but you have not done enough to fully complement the roster and the core that you are willing to go to war with.
The off seasons are abundantly clear with that. There's been very little movement
this
in the
past off season. You did a good job of acquiring Ryan McLeod,
right?
Acquiring Jason Zucker as good complementary pieces for this team.
Yeah,
Zucker in particular has been
not just
great on the ice. I think he's a good presence for this locker room that is dealing with this, because he said something along the lines of, yeah, the losing streak, it's not a Sabres thing. It's a hockey thing, but it needs to stop. We have to get out of this, but it's not just a woe is me organizational thing. Like, this is not something that I just walked into all of a sudden. I've seen it before. That's a guy who knows what it takes to win, and he's been in other organizations that he knows what has to be done, what has to change, what has to be the response. The thing is that this team, as a roster, has some flaws. The top three defenders on this team, Dahlin, Power, Byram.
Mm-hmm.
You need another. Yogi Haru has proven he is not it. Samuelson has proven that he is not it. Clifton was signed to be a bottom pairing defenseman, and he is very good at that role. The general manager's inaction at this point has told me that he does not have the willingness to do this, to make the aggressive move, I should say. And he had publicly stated the frustrations of like players that have no move clauses. There are other players on teams that you can acquire right now that don't have a choice. Go after those contracts. Troy Terry of Anaheim. Anaheim's selling players. Troy Terry does not get a say of where he gets to go. Make a move. Be aggressive. Make a statement. That's the thing you need to do, is make a statement. Because inactivity tells the fans something else, and it's not necessarily the message that you want.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It's just frustrating year after year trying to get into this team.
Because if you don't make the statement, others make it for you.
Yes.
And it's either inaccurate or worse, it's correct.
Mm-hmm. It's correct, and it's not from the mouth of the person responsible.
It's not yours. It's not your statement.
No.
You have to make that move to tell us something. And by doing nothing, you're telling the fans something you're unintentionally giving off. So
yeah.
That's the thing. To me, you have to, it's a fine line, but you have to do something to make that statement. Jason Bottrell made a statement. It didn't work.
But he tried.
He went and traded for Jeff Skinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the move in a vacuum worked because the payment he made was just a pittance. Like, that's a great value.
Mm-hmm.
The contract he gave afterward was the problem.
Right.
But the thing was that Jason Bottrell made a statement. He said, this is not good enough. I need to add. And here's my statement. We're getting Jeff Skinner. It's a big deal. Top six forward at the time of trade. Not according to Ralph Kruger.
Right. I can't. I even looking back, the soccer coach, they tried to reverse Ted Lasso and it didn't work.
Yes.
So.
But we got to get going here. Come back. Wrap it up.
Yeah.
And,
tie with a little bow as we head towards the holiday season, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, still not yet. We still have a couple shows before that.
Yeah.
Oh, we have one
maybe,
show.
Maybe hopefully a Sabres win before that. But
do we have two shows before that? We have two shows before that.
Yeah.
We have two shows. No, we have
no,
one show.
One show before that.
We have one
Christmas
show before
is midweek.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, come on, Derek. It's the 24th, not the 28th. Mm-hmm. Do your math.
10 days.
All right. There we go.
28th is the Bandits home opener.
Yep. All right. And there we go. So, yeah, speaking of a Christmas present, right?
Mm-hmm. Banner raising and Key Bank Center.
Home.
All that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We'll put this show in a tiny little bow here for you. Coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly. This is WGR. Last segment here of Sports Talk Saturday before we bid you adieu for the weekend. Programming notes for you, though. Of course, the Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 6 o'clock before Sabres and Capitals get started at 7 here on WGR. That is tonight. And then, of course, tomorrow. We've got pregame starting at 11 a.m. here on WGR, leading you all the way up to Bills at Lions 4:25 kickoff on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. So, we got a loaded day, or loaded weekend, so to say, of both of these teams playing. Bandits played last night.
They did.
Ran convincingly with it.
Yep. Josh Byrne got his 500th career point as well.
They're just...
they're on a heater.
They're a nightmare. They're a nightmare to deal with.
They're starting strong, which is good.
So, you want something goofy and fun to end the show with?
Sure.
We've been doing,
we're all about that.
We've been doing a lot here for the people today. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. The Sonic 3 movie.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in Keanu Reeves as another member here with Shadow the Hedgehog. Their marketing team is just winning all of the good favor right now. They've made pretty much every Christmas movie poster, but turned it into Sonic.
Yeah, Home Alone, all those movies.
Home Alone, we got Jim Carrey getting shocked by you know, Christmas lights. Yeah, Home Alone Sonic doing the
the smacking the aftershave on the face.
Yeah. Yep. The smacking the face there with Jim Carrey in the background. I don't remember which one this is. But it's got the picture, like all of these holiday movies. And of course, capping it off with the Die Hard poster.
Yeah.
No. Yes. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
It very much is. It's a Christmas movie.
Hey, Evan, you're the producer on this show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just said something very, very not true. We do not have time to get into this.
No.
Perfect timing to let it out.
No, but we're done. You don't have time. We don't have time for this.
Well, it's
Sonic was placed on a Die Hard Christmas movie poster. Those are the facts. We don't have time for this. They put him on like the Nightmare Before Christmas. Like they had everything.
You missed what I said, and so, I'm glad you did.
If you said the same thing, we don't have time for this.
No, I did not. Okay. I said Iron Man 3 is a Christmas movie. That's what I said.
Oh, boy. We might. Nope. The mic's running away. That's how bad this is getting now. We might need to do this next week.
Yeah. It's perfect timing.
Perfect timing. We're gonna have to straight up get into this next week.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I don't want to do that. We have to do that. All right. Evan, you said something that hurt my soul. Anyway, speaking of hurting souls, Sabres take on the Capitals tonight. Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 6. Bills-Lions tomorrow, 4:25 kickoff, 11 a.m. pregame on Sunday. Have a good weekend. Hopefully all the snow goes away. Stay warm. For Joe Kelly, I'm Derek Kramer. This is WGR.